happy to have you with us today. Your co-hosts are myself, Dr. Rick Klofine, and my co-host, Dr. Susan Kolb. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Rick.
Hope you're doing well this morning.
Yep.
We're coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. Our guests will be from elsewhere. We'll find out where. No telling where Stefan might be. And Temple of Health Radio Show is brought to you by Plastikos Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery Center and Millennium Healthcare. We're happy to bring you interviews, shows about fascinating topics that influence us as holistic physicians and healers. Today, we're happy to have back Stefan Vanel. Stefan is a very fascinating gentleman and a good friend as well. His book, The Astrological Karma of the USA, An Analysis of the Birth Chart of the United States and Other Essays, was published initially in 2002 with an update in 2004, and dedicated towards a vision of a truly beautiful America. Stefan's work is quite interesting. Stefan is an astrologer, and actually his client, he has an international clientele. He travels around the world providing his services and continues ongoing services through phone and internet to an international clientele. I'll have Stefan correct me if I misrepresent him in any way. His astrology is very unique to me because it is combined with two other systems that I think are very important and fascinating, Tarot and Kabbalah. In Stefan's readings, he has the ability to integrate the information drawn from these archetypes in a way that provides a much broader level of knowledge than any one of them seems to produce alone. It seems to be a seamless synthesis due to his understanding and grasp of these schools of thought. I often find it interesting also to talk to Stefan about the archetypes that he engages and how these archetypes are different, or how these archetypes manifest differently in different cultures and where there are differences and where there aren't differences. And I'll be very interested to hear from Stefan an update since his book was published and we have a new president. Are you there, Stefan?
I am here, Rick.
Oh, glad to have you with us. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
Where are you calling from?
I am currently in Portland, Oregon.
Yes. Home for a while, huh?
Well, actually, I live in Washington.
Oh, it's Washington.
It's
I knew you were up
home.
In the Northwest there.
I'm in the Northwest, yeah.
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 Stefan, could you tell us a little bit about your international practice?
Well, I went to Europe in 1984 for a two-week vacation and stayed for 3 years.
So vacations can be funny that way.
Yeah, right. So I, and I've traveled in South America and Asia, and I always say that's the two things that enabled me to write my book about America is my astrological knowledge and the fact that I'd lived out of the country for a long time. So
right.
You can look back and say, hey, the world isn't completely like this.
Right, because, you can write the book just from the perspective of the USA, but that's not really a very complete picture.
Right. Yeah, I really do like exploring different cultures and the way in which each one has a whole entity and consciousness of its own.
The book, of course, came out really at the last presidential election.
Right.
So it has a lot about Curry and Bush in it,
right.
And of course we're moving now into a completely different time. So before we talk about current day, I'm interested in how you feel you did with your predictions in the book.
Well, in the first edition of my book, which came out in 2002, I predicted between 2003 and 2006 we'd be dealing with the same lessons we were dealing with during the time of the war in Vietnam.
Yes.
And that was before anybody was even talking about Iraq.
Right.
Except behind closed doors with Rumsfeld and Cheney, but the rest of us,
And you didn't have any access to those closed-door discussions?
No, I didn't personally, no.
No, yes.
And then I predicted that in 2005 there would be the political demise of George W. Bush. And that was an event that took place astrologically on September 12th. And September 13th was the day of his press conference in the aftermath of the Hurricane Katrina fiasco.
Right.
Where for the first time in his presidency he took responsibility, you know, for the government messing up. And more recently, in the afterword to my book, I was looking further ahead and I saw an astrological configuration in 2008 that I said it's likely to wreak havoc with the world economy, and it's quite likely that the United States would be a major player in this.
Mm-hmm.
So that also was written in, like, 2004.
Right.
So
it's nice to have that stuff in print, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, but astrology works, you know. I mean, you just sort of read it, and there it is, you know. And, you know, in one of the last chapters is about 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar. So there's still stuff waiting to unfold and that I wrote about in that book.
So when you look astrologically at 2012, are there clear readings, or is it as vague as I'm feeling from everything that I've been reading?
Right. Well, you know, I'm not an expert on the Mayan calendar.
Yes.
And the source that I work with that I trust a lot is this information that came through a medium from the Ascended Master Hilarion. And he doesn't say anything about it. He's a source I really trust. I did speak with a Mayan priest from the Yucatan and asked him what was going to happen on that day in 2012. But people have been asking me if I saw any astrological correlation to 2012. And astrology is something I do feel I can look at, you know, coherently. And there is definitely, during the period from 2011 to 2015, there's going to be very intense astrological configuration happening on the whole planet, which, you know, could serve as an astrological trigger to some large-scale transformation. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff about 2012. I'm not sure I really buy into it. It seems a little sensationalist, you know?
Yes, of course.
Yes. But astrologically, there's going to be a Uranus-Pluto square. That's very intense. The last time those two planets were in strong relationship to each other was the 1960s, when there was a Pluto-Uranus conjunction. And that's the astrological signature of what we now refer to as the 60s. Now, and any of us who are old enough to remember the 60s can attest it was a time of major transformation. You know, and it was really around the world in all different ways and forms.
The educated people that I read and talk to about 2012, the people that I feel, that I respect anyway, certainly most of them are referring to not a day, but as this as being a transition, a period of time,
right.
A window of time.
Right.
Of some type of transition which would match more readily with these conjunctions that you're speaking about.
Yeah, I see that as well, that it's this intense period of transformation. But, you know, there's stuff coming up sooner than that that has me concerned more immediately.
Oh, such as?
Well, I mean, right now, I think we're in a nice kind of honeymoon period with the new presidency.
Yes.
Jupiter just went into Aquarius, and Obama has Jupiter in Aquarius. It conjuncted his Jupiter right days before the inauguration. And Jupiter in Aquarius is somebody who has the ability to bring groups of people together and encourage the quality of love and brotherhood among them. And in May, there's going to be a Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Aquarius. And it's going to be right on the moon of the United States. And the moon is the influence of your childhood. And I wrote a whole chapter on the birth and early life of the United States. Because to me, that moon in Aquarius represents the Aquarian idealism that this country was based on. Freedom of the rights of the individual and democracy and all that, and Aquarius shows up in all the charts of the founders. And so, you know, I'm feeling, you know, like we're in a pretty positive period now. The thing that there's still this the big event, two big events in 2008 were, well, one of them was that there was a Uranus-Saturn opposition for the first time in 40 years. Now, Saturn represents the status quo, responsibility, duty, authority, limitation, restriction. Uranus is the eccentric, the revolutionary, the unusual, the different, the unconventional, freedom from old patterns that have outlived their purpose.
Sounds like the old administration and the new administration.
Well, what's really nuts is that us astrologers could see months ahead of time that the tension between those two planets wasn't going to peak, wasn't going to be exact until November 4th, which was Election Day.
Right.
That was insane. But that's clearly how the whole world experienced this Uranus-Saturn tension. And obviously, McCain would have been Saturn, and Obama's Uranus.
Right.
Of course, what did Obama do? He put a little Saturn on his ticket, you know, with Joseph
mm-hmm.
Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So what did McCain do? He put a little Uranus on his.
Trying to balance.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So, but obviously what we need is a healing integration. I call it between responsibility and freedom. You know, and those have to integrate. The thing is, there's going to be, you know, four more of these over a 2-year period, five altogether.
With that same conflicting energy?
Yeah, Uranus and Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
the second one just happened on February 5th. So it seems like, you know, that first one is often the most dramatic one.
Right.
But it is like hitting the things in the U.S. chart that gets us into illusionary wars. So there's likely to be this, like, Uranus, get us out, Saturn, stay responsible, kind of tension on our war engagements.
And, of course, we still have lots of conflict within our government and houses of...
February 5th, Uranus-Saturn peaking tension, you know, was really like this showdown between the Democrats and the Republicans over the stimulus bill.
Right.
You know, and the Uranian change and freedom and the Saturn be responsible, and, you know. So that made it a little hard to for bipartisanship, so to speak. So, but the thing... that's coming up in November. This is where I'm most concerned. And, in December, I'm always asked to write my predictions for the year and put them up on my website. And in November, the planet Saturn is going to move into a square to the planet Pluto. Now, the last time that these two planets were in tension with each other, they were in opposition to each other in 2001. And Pluto, end of that tension, was right on top of the Sagittarian self-image of the United States for the first time in history. It took from 1776 till the year 2000 to reach there. And that's chapter one in my book. You know, Sagittarius rising, it gives a love of adventure and travel, and that's why Americans created cars and planes and landed on the moon, and a youthful optimism and enthusiasm.
Yes.
But it also gives a self-image of oneself as being honest, upright, and morally strong, whether true or not.
Right.
So that Pluto-Saturn was right on top of that at 9/11. Now,
you see
November,
that again coming in November?
In November, they're going to be square to each other again. I mean, they're going to be in tension with each other. This time it's square. The thing is, it's going to be hitting a really critical point in the U.S. chart, a really critical point in the chart of President Obama, and a real critical point in the chart of Joseph Biden, all at the same time.
And what date is that in November?
Well, the exact square is November 15th.
Okay.
So And again, you know, they say astrology is archetypically predictively precise, but not necessarily like the specifics. You know, so I don't know the exact way that it plays
out.
So
the archetypal energies, it's accurate, but how the details of how that manifests.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, it feels like some rather intense, challenging, transformative thing. The thing that makes me the most woozy is of George W. Bush, Sarah Palin, John McCain, Barack Obama, and Joseph Biden. Joseph Biden is the only one who has Neptune in only positive aspect. Everyone else has tensions on the Neptunes in their charts, and that's like having to deal with the difficult side of Neptune, which is a propensity for the victim-victimizer program. If you don't want to be a victim, you got to be a victimizer. If you don't want to be a victimizer, you got to be a victim. And, you know, I think Barack Obama of that crew has done a lot of healing that. You know, and there's a lot of details in terms of his childhood and his relationship with his father and so on, which I won't go into now. It is on my website if anybody wants to check it out more. But Biden has Neptune in the house of work, career, role in the world, and only positive aspect. So it's, and the positive side of Neptune is compassion and unconditional love and sensitivity and healing and, you know, so it's natural that he wants to bring forth that kind of energy. But this year, Pluto, which moves much slower than Saturn, is already like squaring that Neptune. So there's tension on that role on the world, you know, and that vulnerability that Neptune can create when it is tensed like that. And then in November, Saturn will go right over that Neptune, and there'll be a Pluto-Saturn square. So that usually involves some kind of like test of faith or vulnerability or a challenge at not seeing oneself as a victim or a martyr.
And you see that less manifest in Biden?
Well, natally, he doesn't have that to deal with, but by transit this year, and especially in November, he's going to get challenged in that kind of way.
Oh, I see.
You see what I'm saying? And it's hitting the Venus of Barack Obama and the midheaven of the United States. You know, last time it was hitting our self-image, now it's hitting the way we present ourselves to the world.
Which is a lot of what he is taking on very much immediately in trying to reshape relationship with the world.
Right. Well, that coincides with this, because Pluto's been hitting that midheaven of the U.S., you know, starting in 2008, so during the election, you know, it's like there was also this sense of the way we present ourselves to the world and so on. But the thing is, in terms of the way we interact with the world, it's one thing for us to, you know, just bomb into wars unilaterally. We don't really care what anybody else thinks of us. And another thing for, you know, American greed and financial shenanigans to be bringing down the whole world economy, you know. It's like the way we are seen or the way we see ourselves being seen in the world is under deep, intense scrutiny now.
Right. It's like when Putin said it's a shame that the world's economy is dependent on one nation's printing press.
Right. Who said that?
Putin. In Russia.
Oh, Putin, yeah.
Putin.
Uh-huh. Right. That's a clever statement. Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. So, so that's a period, you know. I mean, it seems like we're moving into this period of a lot of transformation, you know. I mean, the other big event of 2008 was that Pluto changed signs. And that's a big deal, because Pluto stays in the same sign for a long time. So it really shows the generational death, rebirth, and transformation. For example, since 1995 until 2008, it was in the sign of Sagittarius, which is a sign of philosophy, religion, belief system. So it's been, you know, forcing a lot of people to look deeper into their belief systems. you know, and transforming it or going deeper. It's encouraged a lot of people to search for meaning and purpose and spirituality and, like, non-traditional things, giving rise to radio shows like this and so on. Yeah. Or it's made people go into more intense fundamentalist versions of their traditional belief systems. The shadow side of Sagittarius is fanaticism. Well, we've seen lots of that since 1995.
Right.
When Pluto just dipped into Sagittarius for 1 month and then went back into Scorpio before going in for good, was April of 1995 when the federal building was blown up in Oklahoma City.
Hmm.
Welcome to Pluto and Sagittarius.
Right.
So now in 2008, it went into Capricorn. And, you know, I'm into this information from the Ascended Master Hilarion I mentioned earlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And his is very much a karmic astrology. He just lays out what are the lessons the soul agreed to work on and grow through in this life. I always say he doesn't pull any punches. I got a hold of the information myself a month after my divorce when I was already having to be honest with myself, and it felt like it nailed me to the cross. But it was good. It made me cop and go, yep, this is my stuff. I promise to try to do better, and I'll stop blaming life or other people for it. Of course, I could look at my ex-wife's chart and go, I told you so. But he really sets the theme for anything associated with a sign or the house related to that sign by what he says by having the sun in that sign, you know, being born a Capricorn. Now, at my lectures, I always preface what I'm about to say by saying, now, if anyone here or anyone listening is a Capricorn, you are clearly one of the evolved ones. Just to be my Libran tactful diplomatic.
Right. So you're softening him up for what's coming.
Right. Well, Hilarion says that someone who is Capricorn is someone who in previous lives accomplished a lot in material terms. And helped other people in material ways.
Right.
And it gives them, in this life, an ambition to make something of themselves in the eyes of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them a lot of self-reliance, the ability to rely on themselves. But that is where they will tend to put their faith. It's harder than for the average person, for a Capricorn, to really surrender and be vulnerable to what they cannot touch.
Mm-hmm.
And although difficult, it's not impossible. And the Capricorn who succeeds in opening that Saturnian ring pass knot of belief, Saturn rules Capricorn, accomplishes more than what other souls have to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of spiritual teachers are Capricorns. But if I go to a party and I meet a guy and he asks me what I do for a living, and I say, well, I do astrology and tarot card readings. And he says, well, I'm a skeptic. I don't really believe in all that. I always go, oh, you must be a Capricorn. 9 times out of 10, I'm right. But I see Pluto going into Capricorn, and I just sensed, well, and this is what I wrote in my book, you know, that it's likely to really kind of pull the rug out from under being overly identified with material, concrete, financial reality for your security and your identity.
And
it's likely to kind of wreak havoc with the world economy.
And wasn't that the week in September? I mean, wasn't it at the same
actually,
time?
Actually, the first time when it dipped in,
uh-huh.
You know, because, you know, Pluto's entry into Sagittarius was so dramatic, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I said, you know, but Sag is a feisty fire sign, and Capricorn,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know if it would be quite so dramatic that I'd be watching. But it went in on Saturday, I think January 23rd,
mm-hmm.
and all the talk shows that day was about the miserable week on Wall Street.
Ah,
that's
okay.
When the whole
so
thing, yeah, that's when the whole conversation shifted from the war to the economy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the fact that I predicted that the United States would be likely a major player in this economic turmoil,
mm-hmm.
because the United States is born with Pluto in Capricorn.
Right.
That's the last time Pluto was in Capricorn, the 1700s.
We had money problems then, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And but it's also like you know, at that time it had more to do with like really transforming the structure of society and liberating us from
right.
a class
yeah.
feudal European model system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was like a rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have Pluto in Capricorn and in the house of money.
Right.
That's why we're the richest yeah. nation in the world and the most economically materially obsessed nation in the world.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it takes 242 years for Pluto to go around the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happened when Pluto was in exact opposition to Pluto in the house of money.
Right.
The Great Depression.
Well, I have my sun and moon are in Sag, so I've been dealing with certain things for about 16 years.
Right.
And my manager is Capricorn, and I warned her about the Pluto coming into Capricorn. And sure enough, about that time, she had just a series of things happen that she just couldn't believe.
Right.
And,
yeah, it's
so interesting.
Tricky for Capricorns.
Yes.
Over this period. You know, this goes on till 2025.
Right. Right. Well, I'm very happy that Pluto is off of Sag.
Off of Sag, yeah, right.
Rick has been with me for much of this time.
Right,
He's laughing.
I'm glad, too.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Wow. For you and for me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you're a wiser person now.
Yeah. But I really appreciate astrology and have... you know, an astrologer who's a dear friend of mine, and we keep in touch, and I use the information. I wanted to also say I'm a student of Master Hilarion, and I use that extensively in my surgical practice and my medical practice, and
great.
And his information is invaluable.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show. Your co-host, Dr. Susan Kolb, and myself, Dr. Rick Lofine, are speaking to Stefan Vanell on his book, The Astrological Karma of the USA. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plasticos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plasticos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plasticos?
Plasticos is in Dunwoody. Plasticos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plasticos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plasticos were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plasticos and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plasticos did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plasticos is a bargain.
Plasticos, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
And welcome back to Temple of Health Radio Show. Your co-host, Dr. Rick Lofine. A few announcements for the month of February. Temple of Health is brought to you by Millennium Healthcare and Plasticos Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery. We have our office in Dunwoody to serve you. Please contact us at 770-457-4677, 770-457-4677, on the web at www.templeofhealth.ws. We have multiple services to provide you, holistic medicine, including surgery, family practice, gynecology, all from a holistic perspective. We have traditional Chinese medicine and classic homeopathy, psychotherapy, allergy elimination, and holistic chiropractic care, as well as a number of other services. Please feel free to contact us. We're pleased to bring you Temple of Health Radio Show. Coming up on February 21st will be Stephen Lewis and his book, You Can Heal Anything. And coming up on the 28th will be Russell Altman speaking on Morgellons disease, which Dr. Kolb is basically an expert in, one of the few that are around. We're very pleased to provide you with the Noetic Science Meeting, the third Thursday of every month in our Dunwoody office. And that occurs at 7:30 p.m. And coming up this February 19th, Thursday evening at 7:30, will be our family practice doctor, Dr. Nari Ford. And she'll be speaking on advanced specialty lab testing. Please feel free to contact us if you need any services. And you can reach us again at 770-457-4677. And Stefan, I think this would be a great time if you could provide us with your contact information.
Sure, Rick. My website is spiritualcompany.com. All spelled out, and I can take phone calls at 206-903-9538. And for folks in the Atlanta area, I make an annual visit there, and if people go to my website, they can sign up for my email contact list. And I'm presently about to make a California tour. If you have any listeners there, I'm going to be all the way down to San Diego and working my way back north. But, yeah, my website is spiritualcompany.com.
Thank you so much. So I guess I do want to hear a little bit about Barak's chart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Barack Obama is a human. but... You know, remember I mentioned this Uranus-Saturn opposition, and that's really, we need a healthy integration of that energy, you know, of the conventional and the unconventional.
Yes.
Well, Barack Obama has two things in his chart that really indicate, and this is what I said during the election, you know, why he is the man of the hour. One is, I mentioned he has Jupiter and Aquarius. Now, Aquarius is ruled by Uranus. And again, Jupiter and Aquarius in positive aspect is someone who has the ability to bring groups of people together and encourage the quality of love and brotherhood among them. But it's conjunct to Saturn, which rules Capricorn, and he actually has Saturn in Capricorn. Even though they're right next to each other, they're in different signs. And Saturn in Capricorn is the ability to have an incredible dedication and perseverance towards whatever work you want to do. So he has that Saturnian responsibility and commitment, you know, right on top of that Aquarian idealism. And that's really what we need right now. But the second factor is he has Aquarius rising, his self-image, the way he sees himself. And Aquarius rising gives a self-image that's open to the unusual and the different and the unconventional. Although it's actually been given to someone because in previous lives he've had a tendency to be a little bit too conventional. And people with Aquarius rising will change. Periods of their life are really unconventional and periods are really more conventional. And they need to find a healthy integration between that. Which is to say Barack Obama is dealing with this like Saturn-Uranus conventional-unconventional integration his whole life. And, you know, in 2006, Neptune went over his Aquarius self-image. And that's, I'm pretty sure that's when he really surrendered to this mission, to this role of really trying to help the country.
That's when he was really starting to come strong onto the scene.
Right, and that's when he probably made his decision to enter his candidacy. Now, his sun sign is Leo. And personally, I really like Leo for a president because someone who is Leo is someone who in some previous lifetime came to the rescue of a group of people through an act of leadership or courage, without which those people would have perished. And as a reward for that, the Leo is given in this life an additional energy, physically, emotionally, mentally, and an image of themselves at the head of or leading other people. Whereas George W. Bush is a fake Leo.
He thinks he's a Leo.
George W. Bush has Leo rising.
Right.
He's actually a mushy Cancer. You know, and that gives a self-image that has Leo qualities, a certain pride or arrogance or superiority, but it's actually given to someone because in previous lives they've had difficulty feeling good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually to help boost them up. Now, the danger with a sun sign Leo is that that extra energy can get attached to their ego and create a lot of pride and self-aggrandizement. They need to cultivate the other potential quality of Leo, which is kindness. Although Hilarion points out, even kind Leos can think that the world is a play in which they are the principal actor and everything revolves around them. Bill Clinton.
Familiar?
Bill Clinton,
yeah,
is also a Leo.
Right.
And it's all about me, you know?
That's right.
Now, the reason Barack Obama is, in many respects, a much more humble Leo,
mm-hmm,
than Bill Clinton, although, you know, historically he can be a bit cocky, mm-hmm, and overconfident. But his sun is squared in Neptune. And Hilarion says that's going to create some Neptunian confusion, illusion, delusion, victimhood, martyrdom involving your relationship with your father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all know
that story.
His story with his father.
Right.
And that Neptune wooziness around the legacy of his father is why he's a more humble Leo.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Although that pattern, that lesson, keeps appearing in his life. You know, it's like Jeremiah Wright, the Reverend Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Who was like a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, with Neptune, difficult aspect, it creates a victim-victimizer program.
Right.
And obviously, Jeremiah Wright had his own kind of victimizer program. But when it first came out, Barack Obama didn't want to victimize him,
mm-hmm,
you know, but until he got victimized by Jeremiah Wright.
Right.
You know, and then Jesse Jackson made those surreptitious comments on that was recorded attacking Obama.
Right, but he didn't.
But what was he attacking him for? It was for comments that Obama had made on Father's Day about black fathers.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And so we sense a theme here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to realize that Barack is half black and half white.
Right.
It's not, you know, there's all this talk about him being... Exactly.
See, he grew up in a white world, pretty
exactly
much, but the legacy of his father was always present.
Right.
Even though he wasn't around. So it's this confusion to lose, you know, and then
mm-hmm
his father shows up when he's 10, but he's like telling him not to watch television and do his
mm-hmm
homework, and he's going,
right,
what's this guy doing, you know? And then he never sees him again because his father dies in an accident.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Africa and writes Dreams of My Father. Of course,
mm-hmm,
Dreams is ruled by Neptune.
Right. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. But as I say, astrology shows there is a method to the madness. I'm
right
still using my own chart to figure out why I'm so crazy.
Is it helping?
Definitely. Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't take away my nitpicky Venus and Virgo, but at least I know about it.
Well, you wouldn't be a really good astrologer if you didn't have that.
Well, perhaps.
Perhaps.
It's better for doing astrology than a relationship.
Right, exactly.
And what about Biden?
Well, Biden is Scorpio, but his son is in the 12th house, and he has Sagittarius rising, which gives him his propensity for foot and mouth disease. You know, Sagittarius he's not a Sagittarius, but Sag rising, you know, you can be really honest and maybe too honest, you know.
Yeah.
And stuff. And he's got some intense stuff involving the eighth house of death, rebirth, and I'm sure he must have been having some major transits on that when his wife and son were killed in the accident.
Right.
You know? But I think that's also why he's kind of a deeper, wiser person.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio is a pretty intense sign. Hillary Clinton's a Scorpio,
mm-hmm.
as is Charles Manson and Tanya Harding, born the same day. What Hilarion says is kind of heavy. He says, someone who is Scorpio is someone who in some previous lifetime did something that afterwards made them feel so guilty as to feel unfit to continue living,
mm-hmm.
in which case they took their own life.
Right.
Which gives a Scorpio a connection to the power of regeneration through sacrifice and death,
mm-hmm.
which can work from the highest to the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio symbolism goes from the eagle that flies the highest of any creature and is the only animal who can look directly into the sun with its eyes, to the scorpion that tradition says when it's backed into a corner by flames will sting itself to death.
Hmm.
And Hilarion points out the Scorpio individual can use this emotional intensity to control and manipulate other people or to have a win-at-any-cost attitude,
mm-hmm.
Tanya Harding, Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can manifest a self-destructiveness in their lives, which is like a mocking echo of the self-destructive urges that fueled the original act in the previous life. And they need to manifest the myth of the phoenix, the bird which is burned and then rises again purified from its own ashes.
It's interesting considering Biden's personal tragedies with the loss of his wife.
Right, exactly.
Child, and how he... So he was sworn in at his son's hospital bed rising again.
Right, right. Yeah, and that, you know, Pluto rules Scorpio, and it's going to be hitting that Neptune of his. And, you know, I mean, I hope it's not something really tragic. You know, I just fear a little bit this, you know, threat of an assassination attempt or... You know.
I think everybody's afraid of that.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, everybody, especially with the whole sort of people relate part of Barack's energy a little bit to Kennedy's energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know,
I mean, they said during the election that Barack Obama kept comparing himself to, you know, John Kennedy and Lincoln and Martin Luther King, and these are all people who got shot in the head.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
So be careful what you compare yourself to, huh?
Right. And I mean, you have to have faith that things happen as they need to. Hilarion says that John Lennon purposely volunteered to be taken out of life violently to give further emphasis to his message for peace,
mm-hmm.
you know, before he incarnated. Although I personally feel like if Obama's allowed to live and play out his presidency, the world can transition into the new age fairly peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
But if the darkness gets so strong, you know, that it takes them out, I fear for that it won't be so peaceful.
It's all so intense that it's all in this 2012 window.
I know. I mean, that's when the Pluto-Uranus square that's coming up. Well, in 2013, it's going to T-square the very sun of the United States. I mean, we're going to have Pluto opposite our sun and Uranus squaring our sun at the same time that Pluto and Uranus are squaring each other. That is mega intense.
And
I almost didn't
again?
Want Obama to win the election because I felt sorry for him having to deal with that.
Yeah.
But the thought of McCain being in charge during that was way too scary. That would be nuclear war, you know.
And when is that again?
Well, that's really like a period from 2011 to 2015.
Yeah.
You know, peaking around 2013.
Yeah, there's some information from other sources that say that there will be threats of nuclear war during that time.
Yeah. I was looking recently at the charts of Israel, Pakistan, and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see anything really heavy like right now this year. But in like 2 or 3 years, all mm-hmm. three of those charts got really heavy stuff hitting them.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you do the charts of these countries, you take the birthplace of the country as when it was established?
Well, I go online and find and use the good research of other astrologers who have figured those things out.
Yes, yes, yes.
Personally.
Yes.
Well,
and I'm grateful for those dutiful astrologers who have done that research to find the date and the time and the place. And,
right.
Well, one thing that Barack could do that would help him is to engage the services of an astrologer, and during those times of danger, you know, change his schedule.
Right, right.
And that really, I think that has worked in the past. That's probably how Nancy Reagan.
Well, I went to
get Ronald Reagan killed.
I went to a lecture by the Joan Quigley, who was the astrologer hired by Nancy Reagan.
Right.
And it was amazing because Nancy said, well, that was just over a few month period and Ronald Reagan didn't really know about it. They were using her so much that they put her on full-time retainer for 2 years. Not one meeting was set up with Gorbachev during that whole time without her doing the charts for the different dates.
Right.
And Reagan knew all about it and all of it.
Well, she had to break the spell of the Navajo shaman spell. That was that every generation a president would die.
Oh, no, that was Tecumseh's curse.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And it's interesting she did it through astrology. I mean, that's that's very interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, well, I think I'm going to send a copy of my book to Barack Obama.
Yeah, there you go.
And the article that I wrote about his chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, put a business card in there, too.
Right, right. Sure.
Well, I think, according to some of the information on the Biography Channel, the majority of presidents have paid attention to astrologers, either through their spouses or other advisors.
I know in Europe it's very much more common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people in business and so on, you know.
Like you said, through spouses and other people, they can be greatly influenced, even if they're not personally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think it's information. And, you know, people don't understand the basis of astrology, which is why they think that it's not, couldn't possibly be accurate or reasonable to consider it. But I think, in the spiritual literature, Casey had a very good explanation of why astrology works, and I love Hilarion's book on astrology. I think it's one of the best I've read, and Alice Bailey also has some works that are very important on astrology. But I think if you understand the basis of astrology, that it's not just the positions of the planet that are important, I think you would change your mind as to how useful astrology is.
Yeah, well, I really like what Hilarion says. He says the way astrology works is it's not that you're born and then the planets zap you with some kind of cosmic energy. It's a symbolic language, which is made use of by your guides.
Mm-hmm.
So that the moment of your birth is purposely arranged to be at a time when the heavens symbolically reflect the pattern of lessons and experiences your soul agreed to work on and grow through in this lifetime.
And that's really beautiful.
Yeah, it makes more sense to me.
Yeah, and that's what I tell people who say to me that they don't understand astrology. I say, well, it's actually the planet position is just a reflection of the energetic patterns of the soul essence.
Yeah, it's a language.
Don't get stuck in the third dimension. You know, the lessons aren't coming from the third dimension.
Right.
They manifest in the third dimension, but they do not originate here.
Right.
And of course, the Capricorns of the world believe that there's nothing but the third dimension.
Right.
So it's hard for them to. And I've been surrounded by Tauruses and Capricorns my whole life, and it's just been a conversation, shall we say.
And Stefan, are you you're now traveling for a while?
Yeah, I usually go home for the winter and retreat, but I decided this year I would just keep working and then go home in the spring instead. So I'm changing my pattern a little bit. Although I'm getting ready to work on another book.
Tell us about that.
Yes.
It's going to be a major classic book on the Tarot.
Mm-hmm.
Theory and practice, the way, you know, relationship to Kabbalah and psychology, the way I combine Tarot with astrology.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be probably a big 400-page book. So.
Yeah, that sounds like, you know, that's, you know, the way that when you did your reading for me, the way that I experienced it was a completely different than anything else I had experienced from anybody who does astrology.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Rick.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, well,
it felt so much broader and more encompassing, and the information that was manifest and revealed was just, it was very helpful that you provided me with a tape.
Oh, yeah, you have to tape it.
because I didn't get any of it. I mean, I got just glimpses that day, but in listening over and over again.
Yeah,
and it's funny because I've had that tape for a while now, and like I won't listen to it for, 2 years went by, I didn't listen to it, and I listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And with the changes that have occurred in me
over that
2 year period of time, I heard all this stuff that I didn't hear before.
Yeah, ready to hear things you didn't hear before.
Yeah.
Well, it's very important in astrology, to use other disciplines. That's the astrologer that I mentioned earlier does the same thing. And I often say that, you know, astrology can often tell you when something's going to occur, but it takes other things to tell you exactly what's going to occur. And I think you referenced that before.
Well, the way I work Tarot is more like, see, I do this Kabbalistic Tree of Life Tarot reading, which is nothing about past or future. I quote a client who said it was like 6 months of therapy in 2 hours. But I combine that with astrology, because to me astrology shows what your soul agreed to work on and grow through in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at the transits and progressions, and that shows you what's hitting you now.
Right.
But with astrology by itself, you can't see how you're doing with all of that, or what growth you've reached having worked on that stuff for these many years already.
Right.
And that's what I can see in the cards. My latest analogy is the chart is the curriculum you signed up for in this life.
Mm-hmm.
The transits are your current exams,
right.
And the reading is your report cards.
There you go. Well, that's good.
And I also prefer to use the Tarot for specific questions or decisions. I'm a Libra, so I can't make decisions myself. I don't know what I would do without my cards. I might use them to figure out what movie I want to go to. Because to me, I never use astrology to tell people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it shows why you're in the boat you're in and what you need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what you should do about it, I don't know. I don't have a clue. And anything I would say would be influenced by my personal opinion,
right.
Which could be totally off.
It's not your job to tell people what to do.
No, but people often expect astrologers to tell them what to do. I mean, I had readings earlier in my life by well-known astrologers where they told me what to do.
Yes.
I am so glad I didn't listen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later I could look at what they were looking at and see why they came to that conclusion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still, you know, projecting their own personal subjective opinion as to what I should do with that configuration.
Mm-hmm.
See, whereas when I let the person ask the cards whether they should marry this person or not, or move to this place or not, or take this job or not, I honestly feel that's you asking spirit directly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I trust my ability to be objective with what the cards are saying. So that's the other way that I'm really glad to be able to synthesize the usefulness of the tarot with the usefulness of astrology.
Yeah. I think it's a good match.
Oh, definitely. I give a lecture now called Tarot and Astrology, The Missing Link.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it feels that way.
Yeah.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show. And we've been very pleased to have back on again Stefan Vanel and his book, The Astrological Karma of the USA, An Analysis of the Birth Chart of the United States and Other Essays. You can reach Stefan at his website, spiritualcompany.com. And the phone number again, Stefan?
206-903-9538.
Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick.
And let's definitely make time for each other when you're back in Atlanta.
Definitely, Rick. We'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show. Have a great day.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.
Don't you just hate trying on bathing suits? Wait a minute, you look great. Plastic surgery? Not surgery. I got an endermology treatment from the experts at Plastikos. What's endermology? Endermology is the terrific non-surgical treatment that Europeans have been using for years to tone skin and contour the body. Endermology by Plastikos feels great, and you can see the difference it makes. No kidding. Who do I call?
Plastikos, a leader in plastic and reconstructive surgery, is the number one center in Atlanta offering endermology. For more information and a complimentary consultation and treatment, call Plastikos at 770-457-4677. Plastikos Endermology Skin Toning and Body Contouring, 770-457-4677.